Hi, Sue's hosting the call, welcoming people, and Lynn will be right with us.
Yes, yeah, I welcome everybody to BBS Radio, and thank you to BBS as well, and also the person who's making this possible, who is sponsoring us. That's just awesome. And we are getting more people to join in. Fine, welcome to the call. Please say your name and location. I could not hear his voice, but good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hey, it's Chris from Memphis.
Hello, Chris. Good evening. Welcome to the call.
Hey, hi.
And Edna Eisenbeck.
Hello, Edna. Guten Abend.
Guten Abend.
Thank you guys for being here.
Is that Dutch? Guten Abend. Is that Dutch too?
Guten Abend in Dutch.
Similar.
Yes.
Can Dutch and German people understand each other?
You need to know the language, but there are a lot of similarities.
Uh-huh. I'd give my right arm to know Dutch.
When I was in Germany for a while, I was given anything because every time I ordered at dinner, it was a big pile of fat. Every time I was really hungry, I was like, okay, this will do it. I'll try this.
That's the first thing you learn, the menu.
No, the first thing I learned was 9 seconds of age.
Yeah.
But I can speak English.
Awesome food, though.
Bereitet so spät durch Nacht und Wind. I had to memorize that poem in high school German. I had to memorize that poem.
Hey, this is Ray from Nevada.
Hi, Ray. Good evening. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
This is Roger in Austin, Texas.
All right. Who is this in Austin?
Roger.
Hi, Roger. Welcome to the call.
Awesome. Thank you.
This is Fawn from Burbank.
Hello, Pauline. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here.
This is Wynn.
Winfrey, yes.
We have arrived.
Hi, Wynn.
And hi, Terry.
It's Gary.
We are.
Hi, Gary.
Hi. Hi, Gary.
Hi, Gary. Hi, Gary.
Is Daphne here?
No, but Lisa is.
Hi,
Lisa.
I am here, Wynn.
Hello.
Hi, Daphne. Okay.
Hi, Wynn.
Okay. Let's see here. I'll plug in my computer. This is Lynn. Oh, go ahead. I'll be right back.
All right. I welcome those who just joined in. Please say your name and location.
Michael, Mobile, Alabama.
Hi, Michael, Mobile. Welcome to the call.
Oh, thank you. You too.
Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location. If you want to, welcome to the call. We are live on BBS Radio. Those who join in over BBS, over the internet, thank you so much for being here. Just was here with us. He is taking care of something, and he will be right back.
Who are you talking? Who are you talking about?
Not about you. I'm talking about Winfrey.
Me? Okay. Just making sure. It sounded like it might be me, but didn't want to take a chance. Welcome, everybody. Let me see. I better start recording.
Muted. This conference is being recorded.
This is March 20th, 2013, and we made it to March 13th. Congratulations to us and the planet. My name is Winfrey, and as you, most of you know, we are doing a series of calls talking to intelligences that are not on this planet, at least not in bodies, but have demonstrated their ability to project to energetically be on the planet. And on our Wednesday call, it's your opportunity to submit questions and we're going to ask them live on the call. And we have two beings that we're very blessed to have present that are volunteering to do this, and that's Gary Brown in Sedona, Arizona, and Daphne in Half Moon Bay, California. And this is Wynn on location in Irvine, California, just going from San Diego to Los Angeles, and I just stopped, and I am parked outside of Starbucks. So we are recording. Let me just do a volume check. Terry, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
And Daphne, are you there? Hello, Daphne.
Daphne is not on the... You need to unmute yourself. Star 6, Daphne.
I'm here, Wynn.
Okay. Wynn, please move your mic a little bit away from you.
Okay. Am I too loud? Is that better?
Yeah, this is better, yes.
You could hear me breathing, huh?
No, it was just overexposed to sound. Good now.
Thank you. But I'm okay. I'm on my cell phone tonight, and I'm not on Skype, but it's okay, correct?
Right now you sound great.
Am I as good as Terry?
You sound as the one you are. Yes, you are. Mm-hmm.
I am good, because Terry, for some reason, always sounds excellent. She has a really good mic.
And Daphne also sounds great. Oh, you're on Valerie's phone right now, huh?
Yes, I'm on Valerie's house phone.
Fantastic.
Oh, you're not on the normal phone, right?
I'm on the house, the landline at Valerie's house.
It's much better, okay? So...
The only thing is,
okay.
You're not a moderator, that's the only thing. But you're good.
All right. Okay. So we have some extraordinary questions tonight. And we have... We do a little invocation at the beginning of this for protective energy and help us focus our group energy. Some of you are starting to understand this idea of group energy, and it's pretty tricky because it's not something that people usually talk about or understand in regular 3D, but it's this ability through our intention to combine our energies temporarily, or touch our energies, or braid our energies, or blend our energies, whichever word is comfortable for you, in another dimension. And although we can't see it, when we do it, many of us can feel a shift in energy. And of course, when we do this in another dimension, we create a location. This is the way it seems because I can't see it either. This is something that as you observe this over time, you'll start to get the feeling for it. It's not something you should believe, but consider the possibility that we create a group energy and our sources can combine with that group energy or touch it or blend or braid. So it gets a lot bigger. And this is basically an exercise in us talking to us, but the higher aspects of us. This is an exercise in what is called the law of one, that the entire universe is one being. That's big. And we're all tiny little microparticles of that being, each of us. But a human has the ability, they can't change their body. Their body is always going to be a small, tiny thing on planet Earth. But we have the ability to expand our energy fields. And apparently, you know, depending on our own unique abilities or our past track or whatever, it's possible to expand to a fairly large place. And so that's one of the things that many people experience on these calls. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect Daphne, Terry, and myself, every person on this line, every person on the internet listening, every one of you who's listening to our replays, whether on the internet or on the telephone. And we send those aspects of negativity that we can release to the highest realms of light to be transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe, through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls, and we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us, and we create a protected space that only the positive has access to, and anything not of that nature must leave now. And for our first question, we'll address this to our sources as they speak through Daphne. Now, our sources say there are two group souls that are combining, and I don't understand how that works, nor can I prove their group souls. All I can say is to evaluate everything that happens on these calls by your own personal experience, and not to believe anything until you can resonate. So,
move the mic a little bit away, Vin.
Our first question is from Don Herman, and I address it towards Daphne. I've heard a couple of mentions that the sources can help clear people's karma. Actually, he says, can clear people's karma. I think help is a much better word there, so I'm adding that. And I'm adding this comment here. It seems that when you clear karma, it's a co-creative process. It's nothing can clear your karma without you clearing it. That's my comment. This sounds beneficial. It seems the clearer we get, the more energy we can bring to the calls. And I would add, of course, to your life. I realize that this is not in question form, but I think Don is asking how that process takes place and how we can access it more efficiently. And I turn that over to Daphne. Thank you.
Thank you. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. One moment, please. I'd like to attune. We greet you in the love and the light of the one infinite creator. We bring forth this transmission. We bring forth these words, this experience, this nexus, this gathering together of those souls who would participate in a like-minded joining, in an emotional harmonization of time and space and intent, at this time, the ascended frequencies. There has been that question asked, that there has been that question deposited, as it were, in the space of the release of the causal and effective field. Karma, you must understand, from our vantage point, which is the vantage point outside of the time and space dualistic structure, does not exist except a temporal, ephemeral form? What does this mean for those of you living in physical vehicles of bodies? It means precisely this, that as long as your attention or focus or physical body construct is vibrating in a temporal space, in a third dimensional cause and effect space, you will be at the causal and effect point, at the enduring, at the undergoing, at the effect of the causal and effect place, i.e. karma. It is only when you move your consciousness and the focus of the I am-ness of your being to beyond karma and into the field of unconditional love and make this your template, make this your platform, that you are able to release and you are able to move the construct of grace. You are, in effect, moving from the ground field of the chronos, chronic, chronology, and of sickness, to the kairos, to the sacred, to the holy, to the divine time. You are moving from the horizontal to the vertical plane. You are moving linearity to non-linearity. You are moving into the orchestration of the I am-ness at the center of your being. This is something that can be felt. This is something that is inherent within the life essence, the I am breath, the fire which is encoded in the cells, which is encoded in your matrix. The God breath in your DNA is wanting expression. By enduring whatever it is in the temporal causation patterning, which is your karma, by enduring this and moving to a place of centered acceptance of the perfection of the present moment, of the sacrament of all that is, by accepting the perfection of the each and every and moving into the place of the observation and non-reaction and non-reactivity, you are able then to transcend bodily effects. We hope that this has aided in your understanding. Thank you.
Thank you. And I just want to clarify one thing that you said. As I understood it, or I interpreted it, is that every time a person can allow some chunk of reactive energy to pass through their system and observe it, as opposed to reacting to it, they are working to help clear their karma or their patterns in this realm? Is that an accurate interpretation?
When a being is able to move into the space of self-observation, the being is learning to stabilize one's interior frequency at the love spectrum. When one is able to anchor oneself in the love spectrum, one is able to go into the center, into the proverbial eye of the storm. When one is able to go into the I, the miasm, the dissonances, those frequencies which are not at the baseline of the unconditional acceptance of the non-duality, of the Trinitarian, of the triality, of the oneness, this then comes forth. This becomes the new overarching architecture. This becomes the new balance place. This becomes the new equilibrium. When one is to the center of the yin, of the yang, when one is moved to the center of the light and the dark, when one is moved to the center one is no longer at the effect of time and of space and of karma. One learns to flow with the infinite of the now. We understand that this is difficult as you are a third dimensional being and a third dimensional mind construct, and you are moving now into the place of the hourglass, into the place of the pinchedness of the hourglass. And it is indeed a great grand experiment which you are involved with, in that you are willingly learning to forego the third dimensional mind construct and the third dimensional body construct, and to have these translated into a frequency shift. And we do not know exactly, from our vantage point, what this will entail in terms of your own experience. But we do know that if you hold fast to the truth of the I am-ness of your being, which is an infinite being, no matter what happens to you physically, you, as a being, shall never not be a being. This is our message to you.
Thank you. I'd like to address this to Terry. And the question is from Merrill in Seattle. And she would like to know if one who has had child abuse, endured child abuse, is that required to lead to serious conditions, physical conditions, and I should add myself, emotional conditions, as an older person? Thank you.
Thank you. Give us a moment. We see that it is not required that abuse lead to the setting of that abuse in the warping of the person or the bringing forth of the abuse into the person's life. However, there are certain caveats to this. When a child is born, they look to their parents and they consider that what the parents are bringing to them are done with love. So that if the parent is abusive, the child may consider that it is because of something that is within their own self that deserves penalty or punishment, and that they have brought that on themselves. So the trick then, as one gets older, is determining what it is that something in their childhood has led to. What view do they have of themselves that leads to the stopping of their outflow or the self-feeling of unworthiness or the distortion that what the parent has taught, by example, has brought into their life? When an individual can begin to glimpse that, then they can have the idea that they can change it. Before they can see what it is, they may take it as part and parcel of their life, and they may, in it being so much part of their life, they might not even question it or look at it, and they might consider that that is a fact of life. We see one of the ways to observe if the damage has been done is to observe and to compare others' behaviors and the responses of others to others, as to how they look at people's responses to themselves, as if there has been abuse in the past, the individual can look at the response of others as being an abusive response, or that the thought of the abuse resides with the other, and that is not true across the board. So one can begin to look at their response in what they think the others may be thinking, and begin to see where there are differences between what they're thinking that the other person has in mind and what the other person really has in mind. But when you meet somebody for the first time, they do not at first have the opinion about you until they are with you for a little bit. Of course, there are first impressions based upon how the individual is dressed and walks and carries themselves and appears to be self-confident or not. But again, if the person is bringing in responses that are non-optimal, and then they can look at another person and see the responses they are getting, they can make comparisons and see what it is that they're expecting from the other and how they are dressing and how that influences the responses that they get. We hope that has shed some light upon this. We would also like to comment a little bit on the first question. When an individual has developed karma, they have locked up flows in themselves, locked up response patterns that are set in certain circumstances to be triggered and then to respond. And as a person who has had an abusive childhood may not realize that they have patterns that have developed from it, they can, in the case of karma, they can have response patterns that are locked up. And if they ask for grace to come in and to help unlock those stuck geometries, and so these patterns can begin to unlock because they are locked in place, and they can begin to change these patterns. When grace comes in, it is as a little sparkings of light, gold light, that can then begin to help the person's life to harmonize more and to flow better. And it is only done with the asking of the person, or the desiring, or the intention of the person to achieve change. Thank you.
When grace comes in, do we have a conscious choice of the higher realms to choose to work with that or not? Do they evaluate the person, their worthiness, their dedication, their purity of their heart, their ability for unconditional love? Are those things that all are a part of the decision for grace to be extended?
Grace looks at the situation, each situation, and decides whether the situation is desired by the person. The desiring of the person for change is the major thing involved, as if they took into consideration the feeling of unworthiness of the person or the other things, then they are changing, they are working to change all that. So they do not put that up as criteria. The criteria is, does person wish to change? And what is the degree of desire of the person to change? This is the major factor.
Thank you very much. Next question for Daphne, and this is from Jim Agrant in Mesa, Arizona. And he says he always hears the phrase, for your greater good. Usually we say, for the highest good of all concerned, not for your greater good. For the highest good of all concerned, it's a little bit different. When it comes to asking or getting from spirit, what exactly does that mean? I may think financial abundance is for my highest good, and someone else believes in a career as being for their highest good. If the highest good is for the soul's development and not for the individual's development, then what is the point in asking for things to help us develop on a personal level? Thank you.
One moment. Let us attune. We greet you in the love and the light of the one infinite creator. There has been questions put forth in the space about what is indeed best, the individual and the collective. At the greatest level, at the highest level, the individual and the collective are one. To serve one is to serve the other. In terms of this query, if an individual has asked in earnestness for something which would develop self and make self more powerful in serving others, then this is indeed the highest good. Ultimately, there is no difference in developing a talent of self if it is to be used in service to others. There need be a releasing. There need be a walking forth. There need be a trusting that self, the overarching effects of self, and service to other ultimately need to be joined. There is the adage, not my will, but thy will be done. If one is able to ask for a personal effect, personal experience or circumstance of self, if one is able to ask as a preference, but ultimately to give highest ordering to that which transcends self, then one can be assured that any gifts, any talents bestowed, any circumstances which are favorable, ultimately are to be used as a bridge between self and other, as a bridge between small self and the high self. We hope this has clarified. Thank you.
Thank you. I think I touched on this last week, but I wanted to add something, and I think I'll just answer this. Don Herman asks, how are crop circles created? According to our information, I know there's some crop circles that were fake and made by humans, and some people think they're made by ETs. According to our information and the answers to our questions, crop circles are being created by the Ra group, And if you look in the Spirit Channel and do a search on crop circles, we have a whole Monday session. It was kind of amazing where they said how they created the crop circles. And if you're interested, you'll find that interesting. Again, do a search on crop circles on the Spirit Channel. And thank you, John, for that question. And next question is, let's see here, for Terry. And a person asks, what's the value of Ouija boards? If you're not aware, this is when a Ouija board is a thing you put your hand on. It's got an alphabet on it, and sometimes two people put their hands on it, and it moves this pointer around to different letters in the alphabet, and some people believe they're getting messages from spirit when they use a Ouija board. My personal opinion, and things I've read, were that a Ouija board is actually somewhat of a danger to use as a way to get messages from spirit, because a negative source can very easily take over the channel and start moving you to a message that would not be for the highest good. But we'll let our sources answer that, and thank you.
Thank you. We see that relying on a Ouija board to get messages is a wild card, and it could lead to messages from a source that is demented, or a source that wants to take control, or a source that is a ghost, or a source that wishes to possess someone. There is, for the working with spirit in via the Ouija board, there is no preset precautions to bring in what may be possible, and the using of the mechanics of the Ouija board itself might offset any presets that a person tried to put in beforehand. We cite an example wherein a girl had a boyfriend, a teenage girl had a boyfriend, and he had been killed in a car accident. And she went one time to attend a Ouija board showing, and they, during the Ouija board session, the boyfriend came in and began speaking, and it was quite frightening to everyone, and it was overpowering to the girl. So these situations may not come in an orderly or a harmonized or a beneficial pattern or response from using the Ouija board. Therefore, we do not recommend the use of the Ouija board.
Thank you. Next question, and this is from, let me see, I think it's another one from Don Herman. Don has asked some really good questions for tonight, and he asks about opening the heart chakra. And obviously, any of you who have been on this call and read our materials know that opening the heart chakra is really important for graduation of this realm, this lifetime. And just for clarification, I want people to know that opening the heart chakra is not the same as emotional heart opening. They may go together, but they're not the same thing. And it's not the same as being a nice person to everyone. It's something else. And perhaps our sources through Daphne can share more about that something else. But Don's question is, are there any specific things we can do to encourage this? Any specific exercises, techniques, supplements, technologies, color light therapy, frequency therapy, etc.? What is it that one can do and aim for to open their heart chakra? Thank you.
One moment, please. We greet you in the love and the light, one infinite creator. We speak now on the harnessing of light. Speak now on speak now on increasing light frequency, which is enabled, which is to be held in the very codons of your DNA, your biological blueprint. To be able to, quote, open the heart chakra is not, as it would first, in your vernacular, your common speech, be perceived. From a 3D perspective, you would perhaps assume that opening the heart is for someone to be good-natured, is for someone to be jovial, is for someone to laugh lightly. And though these things are not in and of themselves not desirable, they are desirable. What we are speaking of is something which transcends even the ability to lightly gain joy. It's of the ability to remain in a centered place, in a place wherein one is able to reconcile duality, one is able to reconcile clarity, one is able to reconcile and to see from this vantage what is going around and what is going down around person, around the observer. When one is able to become a paramount observer, when one is able to look at a situation and to ascertain the truthful, a truthful nexus, one is able to become enlightened. One is able to know the essence, the center, the still point of a situation. One is able to hold the entirety of what is transpiring. One is able to hold the stillness. One is able to balance. One is able to hold the full. One is able to hold the equity. In so doing, one is able to be the center. One is able to be the center of gravity. One is able to extend harmlessness. One is able to extend compassion. When one is able to extend harmlessness, one is able to be a bridge, a living bridge, bridge from heaven to earth. In as such, one is able to do this. One is able to trip one's codon. One is able to trip DNA into alchemical explosion of light particularity, and able to physical DNA structure further up evolutionary spiral. This is physiologic what it means to be able to hold light. Light is love. Light, passion. Light is also centered. Light is stillness. Light is holding for another. Light is knowing always the truth. Light is not vacillating. Life is still. Light, life. Love, the emotion of love, is not the understanding of light that we know. It is part of the expression, but not the totality of expression. It is perhaps, in your parlance, beginning of the expression. The love that we speak of here is not a love which is desirous. It is not a love which is covetous. It does not desire. It does not grab. It does not seek. It simply is. It is harmless. It is respectful. It is acknowledging. It is compassionate. It is empathetic. And it causes no pain. This, from the perspective of the Elohim and of the Ra, is love, is light, is what you are moving in the evolutionary spectrum. Thank you.
Thank you. I will pose this question to our sources through Terry. From Ron Watt, so many world events seem out of our control. How can we as individuals help influence world peace and avoid another world war? Thank you.
Thank you. One, as an individual, can do their part to create harmony within their sphere of influence, can create peace within their sphere, can bring joy and love within their sphere. And this can help to open up that section of influence that they have, and as being a part of the all, one can add that little part to the whole, and like a red dye that moves into water can begin to color the other parts of the water with that resonance as all is frequency. And as one opens their heart, it provides a background that makes it easier for others to open their heart. By working with the calls, the conference calls, Sunday Grid Healing, one can join with others and can merge their call for peace and harmony with others and can help to spread the resonance in the vibration. Thank you.
Thank you. This is a question I'm going to add on to that. If I am in Los Angeles, and I'm driving around in Los Angeles, Do I make a difference, and I say this for anyone who's driving or being in any city, any public place, if I'm holding a grounded connection to spirit while I'm here, do I have an impact on my environment without interfacing with it?
Yes, you do have an impact upon your environment. However, you, in a sense, are interfacing with it on an inner level, although it extends into vibrations in complex forms of geometrical connections. You are connected, and you do affect a change by the presence, by your presence in the area.
That would be true for anyone in any city as they move around in the city and have some consciousness of holding space. Then they could be making a difference in that area. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Thank you. Okay. One last question here. This is from Virginia in St. Clair Shores, Michigan. And this is for towards Daphne. Are some people heavier than others in order to hide them in some fashion? Meaning the body distracts from the energy contained within the body, thus allowing the person not to attract too much attention to themselves while they're working, since there are energies present in this reality that may not want that person here. So I think the question is, are some people heavy either to protect themselves or to disguise themselves as they're doing higher work? Thank you.
One moment, please. We greet you in the love and the light, one infinite creator. There has been a question put forth about physical form. There has been a question put forth about mass. From our perspective, relative heaviness or lightness of the physical incorporation in corpore, being in a body, has little to do with personal preference, but has much to do with energetic and energetic intent and the karmic pathway that an individual soul has carved out for itself over a myriad of lifetimes. There are essentially two ways of moving energy on surface and throughout the dimensions of Gaia. One is as a straw. In other words, there is a free moving, flowing through of energies both ways, from the upper realms into Gaia and back, going both ways. Then there is the shape of the cup, which holds energy, energetic, and acts as a grounding container, as a grounding vessel. Depending on circumstances and from our perspective, what a person, soul, has physically and psychologically mastered, a person may be able to hold or transmute, or hold and transmute various amounts of energies at various times. Sometimes it is necessary, it is requisite for a situation, for a to hold our adipose tissue, or the fatty tissue. Remember that most of the human body is water, and as such, more water, the more adipose tissue that a person carries, the more energy that a person is carrying, or that person is able to bound certain situations, certain functionalities. From your social standpoint, it is not desirous to have a heavy body. From your social standpoint, it is desirous to have a thin body. Interestingly enough, it is a thin body that is less able to hold energy. From our perspective, the aesthetic and the energetically functional are two different things. We do not value judgments one or the other. We simply look at this at the level of at the ability of the body to hold light. A more massive body oftentimes is able to. We hope this has clarified.
Thank you very, very much. And it's 6:57. We're going to bring this session to a close. Thank you all for being here, helping to hold the energy. Thank you to both Daphne and Terry very much for volunteering to be here to bring this kind of clarity to all of your questions. And again, thank you to all of our volunteers. And we have a calendar up, so if you want to prepare for these calls instead of waiting for my last-minute messages, you can go to Intelligent Infinity, and there's a little tab on the left that has a calendar. And I will be in Carlsbad this Sunday at the Windmill at 5 p.m., Carlsbad, California, for a free talk and then a workshop after that. So any of you in the Southern California area that would like to come, we'll probably have live sessions, perhaps with both Daphne and Terry, and maybe some questions posed. And we hope to see you. And on that note, we wish you good evening, and I'll unmute everybody, and we'll see you next time.
Unmuted.